love people and how God wants to work in each of our lives and what he wants to do. Today, we are in week six, keep to it. And so it's 2 John that we're talking about today. That's only one chapter. And so that was pretty easy this week if you were reading along with us. Next week, we will have 3 John. That's only one chapter as well. And so that's not too big of an assignment. Read it over multiple times, and I think that'll help you to either have questions that might come up, and hopefully you can follow those up. If I don't answer those in your small groups, as you would continue to move forward, that'll help you have a greater sense of what God is doing through his word. And so the scripture today, taken from 2 John verse 8, how about reading it along with me, would you? Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. We'll give you thanks for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. I think there's an interesting kind of message that is here about 2 John. Kind of interesting also in 3 John. You'll find that as we talk about that. Something that kind of like makes us kind of go, as we hear this, because you see the great importance of, really, John has been talking all along about loving one another, watching out for those who might try to sneak in and try to destroy that, being diligent. He kind of reinforces that time and time again as we go through all of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So you see that kind of reinforcement. Very, very consistent with the Gospel of John. And so you're going to see that as well as overall scripture that's there when we look at the whole total package of what God's word says. And that's why I think it's so important that you would make sure whatever your belief system is, whatever is kind of a part of your thought process, that you not only look at one passage, but you say, how does this fit in with all of scripture? Because you can't just take one passage away and build a doctrine. That's how you get false doctrines and false teaching. Because someone might say, okay, this is what we should believe. And you go, like that's different. But if you don't say, well, how does that fit into all of scripture? That's the next question you need to ask. Because when you put it in all of scripture, then you can be able to say, aha, now I get it. And it's reinforced in other passages. So there's a great importance of making sure. And let me reinforce this and say this very strongly, that we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, you know, someone says something, we should always say, so where is that in the Bible? Because that's going to help us to be reinforced and strengthened in our belief. And because we believe that all scripture is without error, that is our basis for our belief system. And so what's coming in from our world, what's coming in from our current kind of belief system out there is not always in alignment with what's in God's word. And so what we need to do is come back to the basis, because we say, no, we believe all scripture is given by God. And because of that, that's going to help reinforce our own belief system, and it's going to be consistent, even though it's in opposition to what the world is saying. And so that's not always going to be popular. And I just, you know, I kind of put this out there. As our world continues to shift in its focus to become more secular and in their belief system, we, as believers who believe in all of God's word, are become less and less popular and more isolated because it's not going to be shared by the larger population. So I'm just saying, all of those things are a part of that. Now, as John is talking today, he kind of gives us a mixed message, and that's what I want to talk about. He gives us encouragement, but he gives us warning as well. And so we'll see that as we're kind of walking through. First of all, John's encouragement is to continue. There's an importance. Once you've started in your faith journey, it's not over as long as you have a pulse. So, like, you can check now if you want to make sure you're okay. to say, yeah, I think I'm okay. You're on a faith journey that's going to continue, and you're going to constantly be learning, becoming aware of new things that you're going to go, I never thought that before, or wow, I needed to hear that. Or maybe it's a reminder, and you go, yeah, I just need to keep on track with that. So Scripture says, how happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. So they're living it out. So John is writing this. It's one of the only letters that is written to a woman. Ha-ha. So, you know, Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy. Well, this is written to a woman, and so we see that in her children, but it's believed that it's inspired by the Word of God, and that's why it's included in the whole canon or the all of Scripture. And so we see, first of all, John's encouragement is consistent with his words in the Gospel of John. As I said earlier, you can tell that John wrote the Gospel as well as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation, a large portion of Scripture all written by John. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. So that consistency of being faithful. Jesus' words to his disciples encouraged them to remain or abide in him. We see that in John as well. When Jesus said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me, remain in my love. Some versions would say abide in my love. So remaining, that's basically what abide means. It means to be consistent, to remain in his love. Remaining is evidenced in this way by, it's a single word, but it's so simple in what it said that sometimes we miss the underlying depth of what the word is saying. And so believing in Jesus, that's the beginning of remaining. So when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you give him your life, you're starting that journey of a belief system in him. You receive his Spirit. That's what happens. So when I invite Jesus into my heart, the Holy Spirit actually comes and lives in me. And so that's the next part. Then I start producing fruit because now he lives in me, and so my life is going to be different. So that's why when people say, oh, I prayed that prayer, it didn't work. Well, the problem is, where was your heart? Where was your belief? And what did you allow God to do in you? Because it does work. It does work. Because it's going to now start producing fruit. And so there's going to be life change that happens. So I'm going to start seeing that. Then living a vital life, then that vital meaning life-giving, vitality. So there should be something very different in our lives that really is the evidence of Jesus in us. And so that's going to happen as well. And then we're going to walk in obedience. And so basically, you have said yes to whatever God is putting in your pathway. And so if he brings something in, you're going to go, okay, what do I need to do here? Yes, I already said yes. So now I need to put this into practice. I need to start doing something about it. And so that is all a part of remain in me. So when he says remain in me, he's saying believe that Jesus lived and died for you. Make sure his Spirit is living in you. Look and see the fruit that is being produced. You should be able to do this. You should be able to do this. You'll encounter a new situation and you'll go, wow, if that would have happened earlier in my life, my spiritual journey, I wouldn't handle it the way I am today. I'm different. I can see that change that's happening because that's the fruit that should be produced. If you're not seeing anything at all, go back and check your connection, what is your belief system and how the Spirit is working in you, because it should be a natural response. Now, if you're living that vital life and walking in obedience, you should see that also. Because that means if God says, this isn't how we live as Christians, this isn't how we treat people, this isn't how we respond, this is not how we react. When God says those, then we need to make sure that we're walking in obedience. Because if you are walking in obedience, fruit is natural. It's just gonna happen. Now, John's encouragement is consistent with Scripture. So when we look at all of Scripture, we're gonna see that consistency that is there. He says this in 1 John earlier in our study. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. So remain, that word is there. The word was in John 15, remain. Once again, he's reinforcing it. He uses the same kind of terminology that helps us to know who the writer was because he says the same kinds of things in each of his passages. But you must remain faithful, Timothy, this is written by Paul, you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. Doesn't that sound familiar? Because we know that Paul and God was consistent in God's word and what is being shared would be similar because the Holy Spirit is going to give the same message to all of us, maybe in different ways by the different authors, but he's going to give the same message. And that's why we should be hearing the same things from God's Spirit. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Because God's Spirit is consistent, we're watching, seeing that consistency in the life that is there. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Colossians. So once again, that same kind of reinforcement that's being given. And in Timothy, keep a close watch on how you live and your teaching. Stay true to what is right. So that consistency, that continue, stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. And so people are watching your life. And so make sure you're being consistent in how you're living it out so that it will be able to impact them as well. So bottom line, what do we need to remember? Keep to it. You've started this journey. Don't let anything that the enemy would throw in discourage you or draw you away. Keep your focus on the fact is he wants to work in your life, so keep to it. Scripture says in Hebrews, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Keep on. Make sure that's going to consistently happen as you seek to him. What do we know about love? Here's what we know. When it says keep on loving each other, first, love is commanded, so it's not an option. You have to love me whether you like me or not. And that's true for those in your life. You have to love them whether you like them or not. There's a difference between like and love. There's sometimes people that you just don't like so much because they're offensive or hurtful or whatever, but you still have to love them, so you don't have a choice. So you go, okay, how can I not like somebody and still love them? Well, what you don't like is the actions that they do. You don't like how they treat people or how. And so you say, okay, I struggle with that. I get that. But you have to pray for them. You have to love them in Christ and let God change them. It's not your job to change them. It's God's. And so love is commanded, so you don't have an option on this thing. It's not, okay, is there a multiple choice here? You don't know the people in my life. I think maybe I could have other feelings than just love. Nope, this is it. Love is commanded. Love is modeled by Jesus, so we see that. We see here, this is taken from the Message, but I think it's really clear. It's taken from 1 Corinthians 13, a familiar passage. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, Trust God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. That is a big command. How about it, right? Because I think if you looked at that, as I looked at that, I was thinking, okay, I struggle with that. So we all have some of that because realistically, this is Jesus. This is how Jesus loves you. And so he's modeled it in his love for us. And what he's saying is, I want you to love others that way. Are we there yet? It's a long journey, right? Okay, go back to this. Nope, I'm not there yet. I'm still working on this, right? Because it's that journey that you're on and you're gonna have to do. So I'm gonna have you read this with me so it sinks in a little deeper. Let's do it again because it's hard, right? Ready? Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Huge. Maybe you need to cut that little piece out of your outline, slap it on the mirror, read it daily. Because the more we focus on God and his ability to work in us, the more we become transformed. And that's why the Word of God is such an important part of your life daily. You need to keep seeing it and keep understanding it, keep reading it. You don't say, oh, I read this before. Is it like, go back here. If you still have a pulse, you still need to grow. You still need to learn. You still need more of God in your life. So don't be saying, I've already read that stuff. I already know that stuff. Do you have all this mastered? And you'd go, no. Okay, then keep reading and keep letting God work in your life. Now, John emphasized the importance of the truth. And so you see that he mentions that multiple times throughout this passage. He talks about love multiple times, talks about truth multiple times. So he says this, I am writing to the chosen lady and to her children whom I love in the truth. So as does everyone else who knows the truth, because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. So he really emphasizes this word and multiple times, even in other passages. So first of all, let's look at truth. Jesus is truth. So there can be no lie in him. Scripture says that. The enemy, the devil, is a liar from the very beginning. But Jesus is always going to speak truth to your life. So if you are feeling like I'm inadequate, I can't do this, all those negative things, guess what? It's not Jesus speaking to you. That is the enemy trying to defeat you because Jesus will always speak truth to you. And he's always going to speak that kind of truth. So Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth. So Jesus is truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus gave us the spirit of truth by the Holy Spirit. So you have his spirit living in you. So it's going to guide you to know what's right and what's wrong. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Should I be a part of this? Should I not be a part of this? How should this be handled? How should this work out? All of those things are a part of that journey of learning and discovering truth. And so God's going to continue to work in your life to help you see that. He says, but I will send you the advocate, the spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And so he is going to be the spirit of truth. And what is the Holy Spirit going to talk about? Jesus. And so we're going to understand that the Holy Spirit is always going to talk about Jesus. That's the importance of understanding. The Holy Spirit will guide us to truth. And so now you have his spirit living in you. And because his spirit lives in you and he's working in you, he's going to guide you to truth. And so that's an important part, and that's why that obedience is so important. So if you continue to walk and be obedient, he's going to continue to lead you into truth. And so you can trust what God is going to do in your life. You can trust where you're headed, what you're doing, because you're living in obedience. And so his Spirit is going to guide and direct you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. And so what's coming in your life and what's directed and what's ahead, the Spirit is going to give you that kind of presence and that kind of truth. Jesus prayed for us to know his word and truth. So those were his prayer for us. So he wanted us to know his word, to understand it. That's why I think it's really important whenever you're reading the word of God, and you're going to sit down and study, you say, you know, God, help me to know your truth. Guide me as I read this. Because that's going to help you to be able to develop in it. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. So Jesus reinforced all that, and this is in the Gospel of John. Once again, John is using the words of Jesus here, but also in his writings, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we see that as well. His truth will set us free. There's an importance of understanding that freedom is going to come as I continue to understand truth in God. Freedom is going to come to our lives. And so we're going to know more and more freedom. Remember, we've talked about his word should not be burdensome. I should not be feeling like, I have to. No, I get to, because freedom comes the more that I walk in his Spirit, the more that I know him. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the more you know about God's word, you're not looking over your shoulder at, okay, what have I done? Where is it coming from? You're knowing truth. And truth is going to guide you into more freedom in your walk with him. We worship in truth and spirit. So there's an importance of truth. And so that's why when we see how we worship, there's an importance of understanding. The spirit is kind of works through our conscience. Often emotions come through that as well. So we can experience some kind of emotional kind of response to what is happening as we worship together. So some may cry, some may feel overwhelmed, some may just really praise, some are more overt in their expression, some feel it just as deeply, but they just don't show it as much. But that's all a part of the Spirit working. But there's got to be truth that balances it. And so the truth is understanding God's word. And so as the more we have a grasp on God's word, the more we can understand and worship in both spirit and in truth. Scripture says it this way: God is spirit, so those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. And so great importance of having that. Now, John warns against deceivers. I think this is really interesting because he kind of invests all this time in the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2nd, and now in 2nd John, in telling about the importance of love, that love is commanded, that we need to give this to one another and demonstrate. But then he comes up with something, and you'll see this also in 3rd John, that sounds like, wow, that doesn't sound like loving. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist, against Christ. Not the antichrist that we talk about in the last days, but antichrist as in against Christ. That's what they're, how they're living and what their life and their belief system is showing. And so John gives a warning that is here. Now, let me say this. Times have not changed, right? Isn't it? I love how relevant Scripture is. I love that we can read it and say, how does that fit into our culture today? And then we can go, whoa, boy, that really fits. That's exactly. You found that as we continue to walk through all of these passages. And you go, wow, that is amazing. Well, here's what it says. In 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. So do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Now, what that means is there should be discernment in us. Now, if you don't know what discernment is, all of us need to have some level of discernment, because that's like, is this okay, not okay? It's kind of like the Holy Spirit in your conscience is working, and he helps guide you to go, boy, I don't know, that doesn't quite sound right. That's discernment, when you're kind of looking at that. Now, there's also a gift of discernment. And so that means some people have more of a supernatural gift of discernment than others. And so they may be aware of maybe a danger. They see that caution light much earlier than what maybe other people might who aren't discerning. Because there are some people who are so trusting, they kind of accept whatever people are saying. And that's just, you know, it's got an upside and it's got a good side, so please don't hear me being critical of that. But they need to make sure someone else who's discerning can say, you should be careful about that. Now, that's how the body of Christ all works together, because all of us don't have the same gift. We have different gifts. And so a person with discernment can help you discern, is this an okay thing or not? So you may need to talk to someone who seems like they have that gift a little bit deeper. Now, even though we love, there are times for boundaries in our lives, right? And this is the balance of Scripture, because sometimes people think that we need, as Christians, we should always just roll over and be a doormat, and whatever happens, you know, and comes over, it's just the way it is. We shouldn't say anything at all. We shouldn't respond. We shouldn't react. We shouldn't. But there are times when that's not the case. There are times when we just need to put up boundaries and say, that's not okay. I'm sorry, I can't. Now, we have to guard our spirit whenever we do. You can't do it angry, bitter, resentful. You can't do that. But you can do it in a protective manner. You can guard your spirit and put up boundaries. Because if someone is really abused you in the past, you just don't throw yourself out there and let them do it again. You put up a boundary and you say, I'm sorry, I won't put myself in that place anymore. I can remember somebody yelling and screaming at me at one point, swearing at me. And I remember saying, I won't stand here and have you speak to me that way. And they kept swearing. I said, one more time and I'm out. And they swore more at me. I walked away. They said, get back here. I'm not done. They were done as far as I was concerned. But what did I do? I set a boundary. I'm not gonna stand here and have you treat me that way. That's inappropriate. That's not acceptable. I didn't yell and scream back at them. You can't, because all you do is raise emotion when you do that. Low and slow. That's what I always tell you. Go low and slow. Lower your voice, because if you get too high, you get really intense. Lower your voice, do it slowly, and set your boundary. That's an important message that sometimes we just need to be reminded. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Now, that doesn't sound very loving, does it? Does it? Hello, are you still there? Okay, no, it doesn't. Come on, this is not a trick question. This is not a trick question. That doesn't sound very loving, does it? However, it really is when you're putting up loving boundaries. Now, let me give you a cultural setting that was here. They were small villages, you know, like ours, even smaller. When a stranger would come into that village, they would be kind of looked at as a non-person. Nobody would kind of, because they were kind of like very internalized in their little village. They knew everybody. They knew how they handled things, who they were, what they believed, how they acted, because they're just like kind of in that kind of a setting. So a stranger comes in, and if they would invite that person into their home, that means they endorse and believe everything the stranger believes. And so they would be giving to the rest of their group, of their village, they would be giving a total endorsement as that person would speak. So what does he say? John says, okay, you need to be cautious. You can't just embrace everyone. You need to make sure, test it to see if it's truth. You need to make sure that you're going to set up boundaries, because if you invite them into your home, then you're endorsing and embracing everything they believe. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, realistically, let's say that, you know, you're going to have lunch with an atheist. You're going to have some, in dinner, you're going to invite them into your home, and they don't believe in God at all or are really against that. Should you not do that? Oh, yes, you should, because we know, looking at all of Scripture, it tells us that we should be able to love and continue through that. Looking at all of, so how do we make this application to now? I want to tell you that many times people are watching things on TV. That means you've invited them into your home. You're watching things that are not from God, that are not appropriate. You're following people who look at their lives, look how they live, look what's a part of that, test it to see if it's right before you're just going to embrace whatever comes at you. So your spirit needs to be discerning. And so if you're hearing something that isn't aligning with truth, don't let it be in your home. Don't invite it back. Should we continue to reach people who are lost? Absolutely. That's all through Scripture. So it would be, if we isolated this and made other application to it, we would not be consistent with the rest of Scripture. And so we have to make sure whatever we're hearing needs to be in alignment. So are there boundaries that we need to put up? Absolutely. John continues his warning against false teachers in Revelation. So he not only tells us this, also in John, the gospel, or in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but he also tells us in Revelation, because he says, I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. If you want to kind of just go back in your scripture and look up this whole thing, it is kind of interesting how Balaam, he was on his donkey, and his donkey stopped, and he beat his donkey because he stopped, but the donkey saw the angel, which kind of, I know it's kind of like, so do animals see things that people don't? I've heard things, but anyway, I won't go too deep on that. Don't either. That's just speculation, and it's not necessarily. But the donkey talks to him. Why are you beating me? And then he talks back to the donkey. Now, all Scripture is given by God, right? So we believe it. It's a little strange. I don't know if any of your animals have talked to you, but I don't know. But this certainly did, but God used this as a powerful tool because Balaam was selling his giftings and really at the price that was there. So it was a danger that is there. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Repent of your sin or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So there's a warning very strongly on repentance, putting boundaries, protecting ourselves from what's going to be coming in. Now, when you fail to take a stand against false teachers, you become a partner in evil and judgment awaits. So we need to speak out on false teachers. Right now, there's an emergent church that is kind of building and developing, and it's infiltrating even the evangelicals who are supposed to be those who believe in the complete word of God. But they don't, this emergent church doesn't believe in heaven or hell, or doesn't believe in hell, it believes in heaven. Everybody goes there. It, you know, continues to not diminish sin. It continues to work in that way. So we have a caution flag that goes immediately up that says, boy, who are those people that are teaching this kind of thing? And that is that Holy Spirit in you that should go, wait a minute, this isn't right. No, I can't agree with that. Because you're hearing something that's not consistent with Scripture. And if you continue to follow it and fail to take a stand against false teachers, you become a partner in evil. Whoa. There's so much that's happening in our world. I'm pretty confident of our bookstore here and well-read, but you can't always go in Christian bookstores and get and be sure everything you're picking up is truth. You have to be careful. You can't always go online and look for Christian books and think everything that you're going to order is going to be truth. Just be careful. You can't always even buy a Bible. I would always tell you, don't use the TNIV. That is not, we don't sell it in our bookstore because they've neutralized God and they've made it, no male, female, and they've neutralized all of those. Just scary things. So what am I telling you? I'm saying, take a stand against things. It's okay. I mean, you can't be bitter and resentful and whatever, but you can be cautious and you can say, I'm sorry, no, I'm not going there. Because it's important. Anyone who encourages such a people becomes a partner in their evil work. So what do? Keep to it. Just keep to it. You started this journey, just keep to it. Don't let anything come to pull you away and distract you from where you need to be. Watch out, you do not lose what we've worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Keep to it. What do we see? How do we keep to it? Keeping his word daily. No substitute for that. You have time. I don't care how busy you are, you have time. You can be able to read. And I say, it doesn't have to be a lot. Just even read 5 minutes a day. Just read. Make sure that you're spending time letting God's word filtrate through your mind and your spirit. The very practice, Billy Graham said, the very practice of reading the Bible will have a purifying effect upon your mind and your heart. Let nothing take the place of this daily exercise. Just important. Just keep to it. Scripture says, in Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God, useful to teach us what is true, make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, teaches us to do what is right. So it's going to continue to reinforce that for us. 2, keep your focus on Jesus and those who are consistently following his word. Yeah, see other people's lives and you say, that's how you handle this. That's how you walk through difficult times. That's how you respond to people who really are unchristlike. That's how you start having those all of those understanding. Scripture says we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So make sure that's always the model that we're looking to. And so everything else must be in alignment with that for us to trust it. Otherwise, we can find ourselves drifting. You should imitate me, Paul says, just as I imitate Christ. So it's okay to look at other people's lives and see, as long as they're seeking after Christ. So he says, as I imitate Christ. So you see a human example maybe around you of that's what Jesus is. We had a service yesterday for Wilbert Hupp. And if you remember Wilbert, he was the hook. Always sat over here. And always had you shake his hook. A little creepy, but it was just the way it was. and he really made a story. Honestly, he had such great character. And the service yesterday just underlined all of that, set the bar really high. Every day he would get up and sing, "This is the day the Lord has made," as he put on his body parts, as he had lost those, but maintained the whole thing that circumstances were not going to dictate how he lived his life. We should imitate those who imitate Christ. That's exactly what needs to be a part. Always stay alert to false teaching. All truth should be consistent with Scripture. But if you don't know Scripture, how can you know that? So if you're new in your faith and you don't know Scripture, look to someone who's imitating Christ and say, is this okay? Does this seem right? Because that helps you Scripture says it this way, but there are false teachers, prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They'll cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Peter. Allow the Spirit to guide, along with those whose lives demonstrate a godly lifestyle. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That's going to be consistent with that. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And I always think people say, well, I don't really need all that. I don't need the church. I don't need anybody else. The Spirit guides me, and that's how I live. And I think, well, then what's the point of the rest of the gifts? Like, why would he even give all those gifts if you don't need anything but yourself? No, you do, because he said there are apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It's a great passage, great theme. And so what is this saying? We need each other. We need teachers. We need pastors. We need those who are going to help us to understand his word better, because there's a spiritual gift that they were given. And so we need one another. That's how we all function. So continue to walk in obedience, and the Spirit will continue to guide. Grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. That's the message for each one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the encouragement once again by your word. Thank you for the warnings that come as well to teach us and guide us. Let us grow in our personal walk and relationship with you. Help us to be discerning by your Spirit. Help us to understand more and more what you want to do in each of our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. We love you and we give you praise in Christ's name.